You probably haven't been wondering what Dave Edmonds has been up to. In fact, you may well be asking, Dave who? Although Dave Edmonds has been making music since 1968, he doesn't have huge name recognition. Yet he's worked with a lot of people I'm sure you have heard of. Jerry Lee Lewis, Ringo Starr, George Harrison, Paul McCartney. Bruce Springsteen wrote a song for him. Edmonds has also produced albums for such artists as Stray Cats, the Everly Brothers, and Katie Lang. And according to Doug Gordon, Dave Edmonds is a name worth knowing.
That's Dave Edmonds with his remake of the old Smiley Lewis song, I Hear You Knockin'. Edmonds' version was a number one hit in England back in 1970. It climbed to number four on the US charts in 71. Edmonds played most of the instruments himself and produced it. I've been a big Dave Edmonds fan since the late 70s. It started when Elvis Costello released his debut album, My Aim Is True. I noticed that Costello's album was produced by a guy named Nick Lowe, who soon released his own album. I bought the Nick Lowe album and discovered that a guy named Dave Edmonds played on it. I became an instant Dave Edmonds fan. I discovered that this guy from Cardiff, Wales, drew on almost every different form of American music. Straight ahead, rock and roll, hardcore country, rhythm and blues, you name it. I recently caught up with Edmonds in Chicago. I asked him if he ever wished he'd focused on one particular area of his career, guitar playing, singing, or producing.
Well, maybe. One thing about whatever I've done, it hasn't exactly been unified. I've so many different influences that I've never been able to settle on doing one particular thing. For instance, if you hear a ZZ Top record, you know, I mean, you know what you're going to get, and they do it so well, but you know exactly what you're going to get. And I wish, in a way, I would have honed in on something like in that way. But on the other hand, I've had a lot of fun. I tend to reflect my influences with the records I make. And I have lots of influences, from bluegrass to the Beach Boys, you know. I'm not so much a rockabilly. I'm not one of those purist rockabilly guys. I just like quality in all kinds of different styles of music. Whether that's been a good thing for me or a bad thing, I'll leave that to you. One thing I'll say, I think it's kept me going longer because people are not able to pigeonhole me exactly and say, well, that's what he does, we know that, let's move on to something else. And I tend to do a lot of different things and keep people pretty confused.
During the late 70s, Dave Edmonds was a member of the band Rockpile, along with Nick Lowe. The band flirted with success before breaking up in the early 80s. Edmonds has gone on to tour with his own bands and Ringo Starr's All-Star Band. A few years ago, he started playing solo shows, just him and his guitars. I asked him how he liked performing live by himself.
It's got a lot going for it, if you can do it. It's daunting, you know, to go on stage on your own and do something for 75 minutes and to keep interest there. I used it as a chance, and I saw it as an opportunity to do some of my guitar picking, like Mil Travis stuff, which I love so much, and the Chet Atkins stuff, which you don't get a chance to do with the band because it's a bit too subtle for that, and it gets drowned out. The idea being that you accompany yourself by using a thumb pick and you're playing the bass parts and the melody at the same time. And that's always fascinated me, that style of guitar playing. That's what I started doing when I was 16.
Solo shows, you've also been performing instrumental versions of songs that are quite well known, the Beatles' Lady Madonna and Elton John's Your Song. How did you come up with the idea to do those?
Well, that's the sort of thing Chet would do. Chet Atkins didn't sing. Chet would do a lot of that. In fact, he did an album, Chet Picks on the Beatles. It's just fun to do, and it's showing off, I guess, really. I mean, I'm not going to just get up there and sing Lady Madonna, for God's sake. Who wants to hear that? It's a way of playing the bass line and the melody at the same time that makes it a bit more interesting. And it just shows off some of my interest in that kind of guitar picking. And it's better than just doing instrumentals that no one's heard of. You know, people like to hear songs they know.
I came across an interesting quote about Edmonds on a music website. "The Welsh native has preserved the simplicity and directness of 50s rock without ever sounding like a slavish revivalist." I asked him why he thought he'd been able to accomplish this.
Because I was trying to emulate the music side of it and not any social impact side of it. I never understood the rebel part of rock and roll, like, say, the Rolling Stones did, you know, where it's all about rebellion. I never saw it as that. I saw it as just a musical thing with great sounding, like, you know, slap echoes on the vocals and these wonderful guitar solos and slapping basses and creating this effect. So I think I wanted to emulate the musical side of it, the revolutionary kind of music side of it, rather than any revolutionary social side of it.
Edmonds probably doesn't get the credit he deserves for his singing. One of his strongest vocal performances can be heard on a song called One More Night.
I was doing an album, and we'd go down to the pub afterwards kind of thing. At 10 o'clock we were finished, the pub by the studio, and there was a guy playing piano in there, sort of hired for the night by the pub, I guess. After they closed, we kept on going a bit, and he played that song for me, and he sang it. I said, "Do it again." He did it again. I said, "Do it again." I said, "What are you doing tomorrow?" I said, "I'd love to do this song," and he said nothing. I said, "I'm in the studio, come on down, and we'll do it." And we set up the piano, there's no other instruments on it. He played piano, and we set up a microphone, and I sang it once or twice, and we had a take. And that was it. His name was Liam, and I don't think I ever saw him again. And it was just one of those things that just comes along now and again. It's a lovely song, and I enjoyed singing it. And it's very different from anything else I've done.
I'm too tired to stand up. I'm too drunk to sleep. Don't know how I'm gonna get home. I've said all my goodbyes. I'm trying to keep from spending.
Do you have any favorite Dave Edmonds vocal performances?
There's one hilarious thing I did once, and I don't know if anyone has got to hear this in America. It was for a film called Stardust that I was involved in. And they needed, there was a classical, kind of operatic, quasi-classical kind of thing that David Putnam gave me. He wasn't sure whether David Essex, who was the main actor and singer in the song, would be able to cut it. And he asked me if I knew anyone who could sing this kind of opera-type thing with a full orchestra, like a 60-piece orchestra or something. It's called Dea Sancta. And I said, "Yeah, I'll give it a shot," and I did it, and I really surprised myself. I was hitting some notes.
Edmonds will often take a song in a totally different direction from the original version. Case in point, his cover version of the Brian Hyland song, Warmed Over Kisses, Left Over Love. You might remember Brian Hyland from such golden oldies as Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. Here's a sample of Hyland's original version of Warmed Over Kisses, Left Over Love, followed by Edmonds' interpretation.
I see I gotta be hidden for pain. I see a broken heart wearing my name. Your hand in me sure as stars up above. Warmed over kisses, left over love.
Dave Edmonds may not be a household name, or perhaps it just depends on which household we're talking about. He's certainly well known among other musicians. Case in point, country music singer-songwriter Carlene Carter. Carter used to be married to Edmonds' former bandmate, Nick Lowe. And she's the daughter of the late June Carter Cash and stepdaughter of Johnny Cash. So you'd think that since she grew up in such a legendary country music household, Carlene Carter would be familiar with the music of George Jones, the guy who's been described as the greatest country music singer of all time. Right? Wrong. It was Dave Edmonds who introduced Carlene Carter to the music of George Jones.
That's right. I got up and sang with her a few years ago. I went along to one of her gigs. We were in the same town together. And she told that story to the audience, you know. If it wasn't for Dave, I wouldn't have. I said, oh, it's my fault now, is it? Yeah, she claims that's true. And I remember playing her that record and Nick, new favorites of George Jones.
Carlene has been quoted as saying that when you two, the first time you sang together, according to her, it just felt so natural that it was almost like you'd been doing it all your lives. Did it feel that way for you as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, we were always singing together, me and Carlene. And she came up with that song, Baby Ride Easy, from somewhere. We were always singing that song because it was a perfect duet, you know, with an answer thing going on.
Yeah,
call and response. Call
and
response,
yeah. If I drove a truck and I were a waitress and I ordered coffee and I poured you some, then you'd stop by on your way sometime later.
And if we arm wrestled,
I'd say that you.
We recorded recently together, but we weren't in the same town when we did it.
Was that the Nike Supersoft golf ball jingle? That's a great jingle.
I haven't heard it yet.
Music legend yourself, and you've worked with a lot of other music legends, three of the Beatles, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, Chuck Berry. Is there anyone that you haven't worked with yet that you would like to?
John Lennon and Elvis. I've had to pinch myself sometimes that I've got to work with, not just work with, but become friends with a lot of my heroes. And that to me is, it's worth more than anything. That's kind of why I do it in a way. It's been amazing, you know, working with like even people like the Memphis Horns and Jim Horn and Steve Cropper and people like that. I mean, the Stax records influenced me an awful lot. Well, it seems everything that came from Memphis seems to influence me an awful lot.
Mm-hmm. And to paraphrase one of your old quotes, I think this was probably back in 82, you said that you never saw yourself making a living at rock and roll, but by treating it like a hobby, it's turned into a long-term career. All this time later, does it still feel like a hobby to you?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not to make light of it in any way. I never got organized with it and thought, right, you know, I'm 18, I'm going to be a big rock star, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I know exactly how I'm going to do it, I know how I'm going to present my image to the world and all that. There was none of that. It was just a day-to-day thing, and whatever seems like a good idea and a bit of a laugh, you know. It represented freedom to me, actually, music, not so much a career. Just freedom in not having to work and be doing something I didn't want to. And that's, I think, how I've gone it. I've never made plans or tried to present myself in any certain way or create a public image. And maybe that's what's kept me going so long. It's given me some longevity, is that I've never conformed to any business standard.
And so there's no point in asking you what your future plans, because
right.
You won't know yet, right? Check back with you in a month, right?
Right, yeah, you got it.
Guitarist, singer, producer Dave Edmonds. He spoke with Doug Gordon. And this is Edmonds with his version of the Allegro from Mozart's Symphony No. 40.